if you are saying all these hateful things about yourself, saying that you look ugly and saying that you feel fat and that you don't like the way you look and stuff, don't you understand that God made you in His image? So every time that you're saying those mean things about yourself, you're actually hurting God's feelings. Y'all, welcome to the Secret Place Podcast. My name is Karu Ellington, and today we're going to be talking about self-love as a Christian, because this is a hot topic, let me tell y'all, because I think when we hear self-love, it's like, oh, you're treating yourself as an idol, da-da-da-da-da. The way that society has, you know, just perceived it today has, it's just all about self, of like, oh, you need some self-love. You need to do it for yourself and all these things. And it's like, yes, you need to take care of your temple, but at what point are you becoming, making yourself an idol? And at church this Sunday, they were reading the text, and I want to say it's in Mark, and it was saying, above all else, that God calls us to follow these two commandments. And one, the first commandment is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the next commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. But I was starting to think, I said, how can I love my neighbor as myself if I don't even love myself? I said, let's start here. God, show me how I can even love myself. Because my whole life, I have tried to be almost the best friend that I could be, but I wasn't able to truly love people how I needed to because I didn't love myself. It was the way I was taught. I didn't know anything better. And I think a lot of Christians are going through that now. And it's starting to come up, you know, with friendships and relationship issues and all of these things. But I just wanted to talk and touch a little bit about, you know, just loving ourselves and what the Bible says about that. Because I'm telling you, once you start loving yourself and seeing how the Lord created you, your relationships are actually going to thrive. Because all these internal issues, you think you can just cover it up, and everything that you feel about yourself is going to come up. All the insecurity, it's eventually going to come up. Everything from the heart eventually overflows out the mouth. And if you are insecure and you don't love yourself, you're going to start hurting the people around you. And I've had to learn that. But we first need to understand, when pursuing this journey of self-love, the biblical self-love, not the self-love that society says of, oh, put yourself first in everything that you do, but also God calls us to serve. So it's like, what point, where do we find this break? And I'm going to be real, like for me, my life, I have just grown up, honestly, just a really insecure person. And if y'all follow me and y'all are real ones, you know, just kind of my testimony, just grew up really not knowing how to love myself. There was times where I tried to put myself first, and what I realized was putting myself first actually made me hate myself more, because it put a magnifying glass on myself to see every little thing and every little detail that I didn't like about myself. It's like, once you start loving yourself how society wants, then you start to hate yourself more, because you are your God, you are your idol, you're constantly trying to match up to be this perfect thing that you're never going to be. But also, whenever I started putting so many people ahead of me, to where I was actually putting them ahead of God as well and putting them ahead of my temple, it ended in burnout. It ended in exhaustion. And there's a fine line, you know, there's a fine in between, to where we as Christians have to be, of one, humbling ourselves and serving other people, but also understanding that our bodies are not ours. Your body is not yours. As you are a Christian, you've actually given God complete rights over your body. And He's given you a new body, so that therefore we are, you know, His children. He's our Father. So I think as Christians, we need to understand, one, that we don't own our new bodies. They're not ours. So the old bodies that carry the insecurity, the baggage and stuff, that's already gone. All of that is gone. That is destroyed. That is demolished. God has given you a new body to love, to take care of, because it's a dwelling place for His Holy Spirit. And I think once you stop looking about yourself and caring about the outward appearance and start looking at the inner and start to say, is my inside, is my heart habitable for the Holy Spirit? Can God live in my heart? Because at the end of the day, God cannot live in a heart full of darkness. He is so holy. He is so light, to where he just can't be in it. And I think once you start looking at the inside and looking at, you know, what your heart actually looks like, then you're going to start to find that self-love. You're going to start find that humility and everything. But for me, humility is just a big thing. Humility is something that the Lord's been pushing in my heart deeply, of just like, if you're not okay with literally meeting a stranger on the street, getting on your knees, washing their feet, doing whatever act, then you need to check yourself. You need to have a heart check. And I think first we just need to enter the Lord with humility. I think you need to ask God, God, what ways am I being prideful? What ways do I need to repent of that have put me before you? Because the word says that pride comes before the fall. And many of us are in the fall right now and we're confused and questioning, God, why am I going through this season or whatever? It's because you're being prideful, because you're trying to take all the weight and all the burden on yourself. And you're trying to find your worth in your looks, and you're trying to find your worth in the Instagram followers and the feed and that toxic relationship and all these things, to where that's why you're in the wilderness, because you were so prideful to say, oh, I could do it all on myself. I can do it all on my own. Because it's the same way we think, oh, we're just drifting from God. No, it's not that you're drifting. You're actually saying that, God, I can do it. You know, I can do it better. My ways can do better. Whenever you start to, you know, do stuff that you know you shouldn't be doing, finding your worth in relationship, friendship, whatever that is, going into the parties and stuff, and you know deep down in your heart you shouldn't be doing it, but you're like, God, I'm gonna do it later, I'm gonna repent later. You know what that's actually telling God is that you are God of your life, that your flesh is God of your life, that you know better than his plan. Because I'm genuinely confused why people don't want to follow Jesus straight up, because this man created the whole entire universe. He is like the Manuel. He is the creator, the author, the everything. And anytime I'm going through anything, anytime I'm struggling, anytime I'm confused, God, why do I feel this way? Why was I made this way? I don't understand why this family situation is happening. It's like, why would you not just go ask God? Why would you not just go talk to him? Because he literally created you. It says that every day was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Like he has written every day already out. So maybe not in the Lamb's Book of Life, because that's what our names are written in. So feel the Holy Spirit on that. So it ain't that. But I'm saying every day was already written out that we are living right now. So God knows why you're going through that family issue. He knows why you're struggling with that mental health and whatever. So why are you not just asking him? Because it's just crazy to me, like all the rules and the laws that the Bible says that we have to follow. It's not because God is trying to be strict and God is trying to hold our life, you know, in a cage and in prison, but it's actually because he created us and he knows the environment that we need to thrive. He knows all the rules and things that we need to follow to be able to thrive. I mean, I like to think of as a child, like whenever a parent is giving like a kid, like, hey, don't go in that street, you know, just you can play out in the yard. But don't pass the street, don't cross that road. And as a kid, it's like, oh, you're just trying to chain me up and you're just trying to have complete control over me. But it's no, because the kid doesn't know what's on the other side of that yard. He doesn't know what is going to happen if he crosses that road. It's dangerous. In the same way, we get so upset with God that since we can't see it, since we don't necessarily know, it's the same way that Adam and Eve were tempted. They were tempted of, what did Satan say, like the knowledge, you would know the knowledge of good and evil, the tree, whatever, of knowledge. Yeah, they were exposed. They learned more about sin. But it's like, is it good? Why do you even want to learn more about sin? Why? Maybe not. We were not made for that. So I'm telling you, like, God created you, and he created the Bible to feed you. That's the bread of life. But also, he created these rules and laws because he knows it's how you're going to thrive. He knows that's how what you were made for. And it's the same way if you don't know how to work like a remote control car, or you don't know how to work an electronic, you're going to go to the manual. You're going to go to the, you know, like the little owner's manual they give you in the box. So, and every single time, like it gives you the answer. It's the same way with Jesus. Like when we are confused, while we feel some way or while we're going through something, why not just go to the manual, the one who created us? Because I think many times, at least in my life, I just go and ask, you know, the world, who they think I am, and to find my worth in what my followers say about me or what my friends say about me. And that's like me, you know, with that remote control car, trying to ask everybody, and there's no model like that. There's only one model. So they've never experienced, you know, how to work that remote control car before. There's only one person who knows how to work it, and that's the creator. And we are all made so entirely differently. So we need to quit going to other people for them to tell us what our worth is, and just go to the root, baby. Just go to Jesus. And anyways, so we hopping around, but I just think we need to first realize, you know, what we were made for, which is the Lord first, and secondly, realize like that he's made us into a new creation. And third, I want you to realize that if you are saying all these hateful things about yourself, saying that you look ugly and saying that you feel fat and that, you don't like the way you look and stuff, don't you understand that God made you in his image? So every time that you're saying those mean things about yourself, you're actually hurting God's feelings, because he made you in his image. He made you to look like him. So your body is actually glorifying him just by, you know, representing him and replicating him. So I think every time that Satan wants to come in our minds and try to make us, you know, self-destruct and say all these really mean things about ourselves, we need to look at Jesus and see, no, he created me perfectly. He created me exactly how he wanted. Because I'm telling you, all these thoughts that are coming over your mind of, you know, this self-hatred and all these self-sabotage, all this stuff is literally just to stab at Jesus. It's just Satan is trying to fill your mind with all these things to hurt Jesus's feelings. That's literally all it goes down to. Because we are in a battle right now of demonic and the Holy Spirit going back and forth. And Satan is just constantly wanting to use us as little puppets to hurt the Lord's feelings. And baby, we taking back our rights. Like, I'm not finna have that with my Lord. But I just want you to hold tight to what the Word says. The Word says that you, again, were made in His image, but also, like, y'all, we are chosen. We are the chosen ones of the Lord. You understand, too, like, if you are a child of God, then you are, like, royalty, right? Because if Jesus is king, you know, we say Jesus is king, whatever, but it's like, do you actually believe that? Because then, if you're a child of Him, that would make you a prince. That would make you royalty as well. So, why are you saying all these horrible things about yourself if you are literally royalty? Why are you trying to come for yourself and say all these things when, since you're a child of the king, you're literally royalty? Why are you feeling like you are not good enough, feeling like your life is pointless? I'm telling you, like, if you were in England and you were like the prince or the queen or whatever that is, you'd be filling up on yourself. You'd be like, hey, I'm a baddie. Hey, what is it? Like, be for real. But it's just like, a lot of us just need to start cursing the spirit of unbelief, because we truly don't understand and we truly don't believe, you know, God's word that he is king, first off, but also that we're royalty too. Nothing that we could do. And that's the next thing. It's like, we need to understand that it's nothing that we could have ever done, you know, to wash ourselves clean. It's not because you get in your word and pray. That isn't what makes you clean. None of that makes you clean. That helps you grow your walk with Jesus. But Jesus did everything on the cross. So you have to quit striving, thinking that if you buy that extra skincare, makeup, whatever that is, those clothes, and that person's going to like you, then you're going to feel better about yourself. I'm telling you, it's going to be a never-ending cycle. Once you get that amount of followers, that amount of likes, get in that relationship, get married, have that kid, have the family, have the dog, I'm telling you, it's going to be never-ending. Satan's just constantly filling our minds with distractions of, once we get this thing, then we're going to be happy. And it's just never going to be ending. We're just continuing to dig a hole that is just dissolving and dissolving and dissolving. It's literally, there's a bottomless pit. You're never going to actually get to the root until you go to Jesus and allow Jesus to dig for you. And he's going to show you where you need to dig to find him. He says, seek and you will find. But y'all, we've just got to first stop and start realizing that there's nothing that we could do to make ourselves more beautiful, to make ourselves anything, because beauty comes literally from the heart and nothing else. The physical cannot affect, that is literally nothing. Physical is, beauty is fleeting, all these things. Like, that's what the word says. Like, the physical is the least of my worries. It's the heart check. You know what somebody's heart truly is after you've been hanging out with them for a little bit. You can discern them. You can read them, like, what their heart posture truly looks like. And I'm telling you, an ugly heart makes a person hideous. Because I've been in some relationships where I thought the girl was fine, but her heart, her heart wasn't adding up. And all those times in those relationships where I was going for the girls with the looks and stuff, it's just like, honestly, they're uglier than girls who at the time I thought were ugly, whatever. Like, it's just like embarrassing. But I think just as Christians, we need to start discerning the heart and stop looking at the outside. Like, that ain't what it's about, y'all. But also too, yeah, that should just like humble you to understand, like, there's nothing that you could do. But we just need to know who the Lord says we are, and we need to actually believe it. Because there's a lot of times where I say, like, oh yeah, for sure, God, thank you, in the code with Jesus and I'm vibing, but it's just like, I'm not even believing these things. And it's like, faith is what's going to allow us to conquer the enemy. Faith is what's going to allow us to defeat the evil one. And it's like, we're not even believing what God said is even true. And also too, we need to understand that whenever we love ourselves, not in a self-obsession love, but love ourselves as a way of like worshiping Jesus, as in like the same way that you love trees or the nature, all these things. You're just like, God, you did so good. You're allowed to say that about yourself. You're allowed to say, God, thank you for creating me today. Thank you for allowing me to be able to work out, to be able to run, to be able to enjoy this food. Thank you for not allowing me to be sick. That's a way of worship. Every act is an action of worship. Worship isn't just singing. A lot of us want to think it is. But every action that you do is an act of worship. So you're allowed to hype yourself up in that way, but not in a, you know what I'm saying, not in a way of like posting scandalous stuff on Snapchat and being like inappropriate. Cause that's something the Lord has recently convicted me of, is like posting stuff like with like a wife beater on, wife respecter is what we call them, wife respecter, or like something like a shirtless picture. It's like, maybe my heart intentions weren't like that. I say they weren't like that, but it's like, they probably were, be for real. It's just like hidden pride. But it's like, if you're causing another believer to stumble, the Bible says that you're better off just tying a rope to your neck and tying a rock to it and you drown. So know your true heart intentions. But I'm telling you, like, you're allowed to hype yourself up. Like, be for real. Not in the way of like, oh, I look this good. Did it. Because one thing I've realized is once my worth has been found in my outfits or my looks, and if I'm going to the gym and all of these outwardly things, every single time I'm just left feeling even emptier before, because it's like, I feel like I need to search for a new thing to try to fulfill me, because nothing ever does. But once I start finding my worth and hyping myself up spiritually, yeah, I'm in that bread. Yeah, I'm a child of the King, y'all. Cause so many of us are going through so many things. Like, I was at a conference just a few days ago and I was just stressing out. I was like, God, I feel like I need to be in your word more. I feel like I need to do this. I need to quit doing this. Not just all these things were just coming over my mind and stressing me out. And God said, just sing about me. Just start singing who I am, because when your focus is shifted inwardly on yourself, you see nothing else but your flaws. You see nothing else but all the things that you need to do. But God said, I already did it, crew. I already gave it all on the cross, but you just need to fix your eyes on me and follow me and only me. And once I just started singing about Jesus, and once I started just singing about what Jesus did for me, all striving ceased. And that's where the confidence comes from, is realizing that I could never do anything that Jesus could, that I could never look a certain way, be a certain person that matches up to who Jesus is. But many of us subconsciously feel like we can, as in, oh, I need to get in my word. I got it. Like, Jesus loves you regardless if you're praying and you're in your word. That doesn't give you an excuse to not be in it. But you need to quit trying to earn God's approval and love by doing all these actions. He loves you regardless. Nothing could ever affect his love for you. And I don't know who that's for, but I know, like, if you're under the sound of my voice, this is for you. But God is telling you, it's the self-hatred has to go. All this insecurity has to go in Jesus' name. You just have to fix your eyes on Jesus. I'm telling you, once your eyes are fixed on Jesus, just like Peter, miracles will continue to start happening in your life. You're going to start walking on water. But as soon as you start looking at other places, you start to look at the storm, you start to find ways that you could maybe do it better yourself, you're going to sink. But the thing is, again, God will pick you up every single time you sink. He's going to put his hand down into the water. You just have to grab it and he's going to pull you up every time, friend. But your eyes have to be so locked on the King to where the enemy, he comes, he's right in front of you. Literally nothing is shifting your focus. I pray now in the name of Jesus for eyes that are completely fixed on Jesus, that nothing else would shift them. Because right before this podcast, I felt the enemy coming to me, trying to shift my eyes, trying to pull me out of tune with the Spirit because some stupid social media stuff, trying to make me care about some views and likes, and just like on almost like put my character on the line and put my testimony on the line just for a like, just for a view. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. But so many of us, just in our culture today and in our generation, it's like we're willing to literally publicly embarrass ourselves or anyone else just for some quick validation on social media. And it's so sad. I'm telling you, if you would sit in your secret place with Jesus, he's going to validate you. He will show you everything that you need to see, and he will tell you everything that you need to hear. He will affirm every part of you. I'm telling you, if you're going through some sort of body dysmorphia or body insecurity, eating disorder, go sit with Jesus. Fix your eyes on him and he will affirm you, because he created you exactly how you're supposed to be and you are his child. He's just like a father who's going to affirm you that you're beautiful the way you are. And it's not like the affirmation that our parents want to tell us. It's an affirmation that you truly, as you meditate on it, you actually start to believe. And it starts to change your life and change the way that you think, change the way that you feel, and change the way that you view yourself. I'm telling you, Jesus loves you so much. Don't compromise anything for some quick approval, for some quick validation. Don't send those inappropriate pictures to that guy just so that he can make you feel validated. Don't settle for that girl or guy so that you can feel validated. Don't post that picture on social media that you know you shouldn't be just so that you can get the extra likes. We got to do better. And I'm coming to you admitting, like, trust me, it's hard. Like, it's hard. My job is social media and it's like, oh yeah, if I post this, I can get hyped up. Is it really worth it? Like, I'm telling you, because one verse that I read is in John, I want to say 14. y'all, the way that we show Jesus that we love him is through our acts of obedience. And I used to think, oh, if I don't like masturbate or watch porn or whatever, then, or I can masturbate and watch porn just as long as Jesus is going to forgive me, so it's all going to be good. I'm still going to go to heaven. But once I realized that, yeah, God's going to forgive me, but I'm showing him I don't truly love him. By obedience is the way that we show Jesus that we love him. So when we're going through all these different things in our life, just saying yes to Jesus and obeying him, that's how you show your love to him. And y'all, that verse was like life-changing for me. And I just felt so convicted when I first read it. And I'm honestly just meditating on it every single day of like, before getting on this podcast, I was like, God, you have my yes in the name of Jesus. God, I'm going to listen to you in the name of Jesus because this is how I'm going to show that I love you. Even if I don't understand what I'm going through, I'm going to love you regardless. And I'm show that with my obedience. Friend, I pray that this episode brought some sort of revival. I know for a fact that God gave you a word because I feel it deep down in my spirit. I'm telling you, this was for you. God had an appointment for you. Like nothing is by chance. Literally nothing. You're not just listening to this. I'm telling you, God has this video for you to listen to for a reason, friend. I love you so much, and I'll see you next week. God bless you.